If you have your Bible with you, we'd ask you that you turn with us to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to start with the first verse of the fourth chapter. This was written, if you look at any of the types of writings about the books, the epistles that Peter wrote, they'll say that Peter wrote this to Babylon. And that might be kind of confusing. We've been studying about Babylon off and on, but Peter was using this to address the church at Rome, but Rome itself, the Roman Empire, and he kind of codenamed it Babylon. He wrote it in approximately 60 to 64 AD, and it was during a time whenever the persecution was beginning, was just starting. In fact, Peter and Paul both would be martyred in Rome approximately about the same time. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. And the real impetus of persecution of the church of the living God began in about 112 AD and had full force in about 249 AD. So it was kind of building up, and that's why that Peter wrote some of this that he wrote, because what he was going to leave behind was to encourage those that would probably face great persecution. Now, we face persecution today, but probably not in the same way that they did as in early church. But Peter tried to encourage them that no matter what happened, no matter what would take place, that they would use everything that they could, their talents, their very being, everything that they could, to take the gospel out into the world, even among the very enemies of Christ. And you know, it's no different today. We're to still carry that out. We're still to take the gospel out into a lost and unsaved world. And so we're going to begin with the first verse of the fourth chapter. And if you have your Bible, we invite you to read along with us in this passage of Scripture, starting with the first verse. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but unto the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange, those that participate in such, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot," or in other words, being overcome with the world, "speaking, they will indeed speak evil of you, but they will give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. And for this cause, the gospel is preached also to them that are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Now, this is where that we want to draw your attention mainly to. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity," or if you will, love, "among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality, one to another, without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, if this is correctly read, this is down to the 10th verses. We may go a little bit further into this same chapter, into other verses, but for the most part, this is our scripture lesson for this morning. And we want to take our text from the 10th verse of this same chapter. As every man, now whenever that they use the word every man, it doesn't mean just to the male gender alone, but it's unto all mankind that have been redeemed by the grace of God. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, our thought will come from that particular scripture. But our subject, or if we would call it a subject today, will be about everyone that has gifts from God. And what do we do with those gifts? What do we do with what God has blessed us with? Whether it be financial, whether it be in talents, and I'm so thankful for these young ladies that use their talent to the praise and honor and glory of God. Because I believe today that God will bless you by blessing His name and glorifying His name. But we find today that we have been given gifts from God. You might say today, I don't know exactly what my gift is. I don't know what God has blessed me with. Well, He has blessed you with talents. I don't have the talent of being able to drive a nail into a piece of wood. But others have that talent and that ability. I don't have the talent and be able to put guttering or roofing or anything like that. But others have that talent. Others have that talent of being able to look at x-ray scans and tell what is wrong with a patient. I don't have that talent, but others do. But you've been talented with something that you can use to the honor and glory of God, to serve Him, to serve others, and to serve the gospel as it goes out into the world. Now, I want you to understand today that we have been redeemed. Those that have been saved by the grace of God have been saved because they've been redeemed. We've been purchased with a price. We have freedom because it was purchased for us with a very dear price. But for our eternal souls, we've been redeemed with a very precious price. In fact, the same author says in one place, he said, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, or corruptible things from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in one place that we have redemption through His blood. In fact, Romans 3:24 tells us in one place, being justified freely by His grace, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified by faith, He tells us over in one place, but it's faith in His blood. That's what justifies us. And we are purchased of God. We belong to God. Your soul belongs to God. It does no longer belong to the world. It did at one time, and we were under the sway of sin, so to speak, and we were at the beckoning call of Satan. But thanks be unto God that He has purchased us, redeemed us, has saved us, and our life now is not our own. But what do we do with that? You know, the Bible tells us in one place where that there were 10 lepers. I do know how to count. But 10 lepers that came to Jesus and they were healed. And they went on their way. But there was only one who came back to thank Him for what He had done. Imagine that. 10. I don't know if the other 9 were just so overwhelmed at the fact that they were healed, that they were seeking the way to the priest to be declared whole and to be declared cleansed and healed by the priest. But there was one that went back unto Jesus and he thanked Him thanked him for what he had done, how that he had actually saved their lives. And I've oftentimes, and I'm taking liberty with the Word of God whenever that I say this, I would imagine that that man, after that he had been healed and thanked the Lord, whatever that he did the rest of his life, and we're not told, but whatever that he did the rest of his life, I would imagine that he remembered what had happened, who did it for him, and he used everything that he had left in gratitude to God, to thank him for what he had done. You know, that we are, whenever that we're redeemed, God not only redeems our soul, but he redeems the talents that we have, or he desires to redeem them and use them. People will say today, you know, I read in the Old Testament to where that God had, whenever that they, the children of Israel went into various areas of the promised land, and whenever that they conquered them and they overtook those people, they would take whatever that they had there in the way of gold and of silver and brass and so forth. And we find that even whenever that they came out of Egypt, they spoiled Egypt. They took some of the gifts. They took some of the gold. They took some of the silver that was found in Egypt. But do you know what that silver and that gold and that brass had been used for? Have you ever heard of the god Isis in Egypt? A false god that people used, made out of gold, made out of silver. And you know, it is God's to begin with. It is God's creation. The silver and the gold and all of that today is actually God's. And my friend, he has right unto it today. And when man uses the gifts, or whenever that he uses something precious like that for something like idolatry or for something like evil, it's used for the wrong reason. When we have talents and we have things that God has blessed us with, sometimes there's a tendency to say, well, you know, God has saved me and God has redeemed me, but you know, I'm going to use my talents and I'm going to use my gifts for this and for that. And a lot of times, Satan gets into their mind and tells them, you know what, you earned this, it's yours, and you know what, you've got a right to do with it whatever that you want to do. You just go out and live however that you want to, but you know, you're still God's. But you know, that's not what God alone wants. Yes, he wants the soul. Yes, he wants our lives, but he also wants us to dedicate and to give the very best that we have to him, to honor and to glorify him. So even after salvation, we are a treasure to God. But you know, sometimes, and I will say this myself, for myself, a tendency to kind of hold back what God has blessed me with. I realize, and I'm not bragging myself up in any way, but I realize that the profession or the avocation, you, if you will, that I went into, you know, to make a living for my family, I realize that it was by God's grace that he allowed me to. The very place that I grew up, you know, if it went according to the way that most people would imagine that it was to have gone for me, I wouldn't have gone into the profession that I went into. My father had not gone to med school. And I'm not saying that anything against that, but my father had not gone into med school. He had not gone to any kind of training except what he had received in the service. But somehow that had an influence upon me that I decided that I wanted to do something in that field. Now, like I said, I'm not bragging myself up, but I went, and by the help of my companion who did over and above what she needed to do to help me and to stand behind me and support me, I was able to achieve that goal. But you know, it wasn't too long until afterward, God began to deal with me, and he began to speak to me, And he said, I didn't get you through, and he got me through. Yeah, there are grades and so on and so forth, but it was God that placed me where that he did. And he said, I've done this for a purpose. I've done this for a reason. And you didn't get through on your intellect alone. But he said, I was able, in spite of all the circumstances that were around, I got you through. And I thanked him for it. I can even show you in the little apartment that we lived in where that I bowed in. God made me to realize what he had done for me and why that he had done it for me. And it wasn't just for the financial gain, but he put me into a position and into a place in my profession where that I could be a help unto others. You know, God didn't put us upon this earth for ourselves. There's a saying that says, man does not live unto himself or for himself, but for others. And you know, I began to realize, Lord, people would come to me with their problems, not just their medical problems, but they would come to me with their heart problems. They would die. I'm not talking about the cardiovascular, but they would come to me with the things that were going on down deep in their heart, the problems that they were having, the situations that they found them in for themselves in, the sorrows that they were in. Sometimes it would just get to me. It was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to advise you in. But that's whenever that every day that I went to work or went to where that my practice was at, that I would ask God to show me what you want me to do this day. Help me to do not only what I'm trained for, but help me to go above and beyond. And you know, that talent that he gave me, I gave to God, and I give him all honor and glory. And I want you to know, I don't mark down in a book that, oh, I helped so-and-so, and oh, I helped so-and-so over here, and oh, I did this, and I listened to their problems, and I helped them, you know. And there were times whenever that I would even buy the medicine myself for somebody that could not afford it. God had blessed me with the capability of earning that living. I felt like, Lord, it's yours anyway. Take this, and you're going to think this is crazy, but I'd pray over a bottle of insulin that I would give to a patient. I pray over somebody that had problems with their heart, and they weren't sure that this medicine was going to work for them. I don't know why I'm spilling all this out. But I guess what I'm saying today is God will bless you if he hasn't already, or he has blessed you with a talent and ability and the capability of helping others, of somehow standing in the gap for him. And do you know, today you may be the only gospel that they'll ever hear. That's pretty staggering, isn't it? Because some people, my friend, will never ever consider coming in to a church house to hear the gospel. But do you know the most effective way that the gospel can be preached and the gospel can be shared with others is by what they see in us and how that Christ lives out his life within us. They see that love that we have towards them. Now, I want to tell you, I've seen the best and I've seen the worst of humanity from my setting. And you can ask my dear companion. There are times I've come home, I've slammed down the book, and I've said, why in the world do I even deal with them? But then I think about, Lord, that's not a good attitude. What did Jesus do? And that became something today that I would try to practice. Lord, they're cussing me out. What would Jesus do? Lord, they're just slamming everything around. They're calling me everything but what they should be calling me. What would Jesus do? And I think about how that he suffered far more than I ever did. I never had to go to a cross. I never had to pay a price for someone's sin. like he did, you might say, why do you still have that up there? It's a reminder of to me of at the foot of the cross, he paid the supreme price for all men. And do you know that was something that was revealed to me? You can, I'm reminded of it whenever that I still get upset with what's going on in the world. And this mantra came to me, well, Jesus died for them too.
Amen.
Jesus died and paid the price for all mankind. And I want to tell you what, it brings me right back here to the foot of the cross. It brings me right back to where that the blood was shed. It brings me right back to one that paid the price for me. Yes, he loves us individually. He loves us so deep we don't even realize it. And when he saves us, my friend, he does it willingly, even in spite of ourselves. But it reminds me that he also died for others. That he also died for the drunk in the gutter. He died for the AIDS patient. I've had to just see people for what they really are in God's sight. And you know, that's one thing that I prayed about. God, help me to see others as you see them. Help me to look at them through your eyes. He died, my friend, for all the iniquity that is going on in the world today. He died for men like that. And you want to know why? Because they're so blind and they're so in darkened. They're so in darkness, my friend. They're so bound in sin, they don't even realize. They don't even realize just how bad off that they are. Just like when I was unsaved, I didn't realize how close to hell that I was. But Jesus in his great love and Jesus in his great capacity to save was willing to save me even in spite of myself. So we find that God's given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. Do you know today that the Bible tells us that even giving a glass of water in the name of God and the name of Christ has its reward? And the reward is not that you receive, that a person receives notoriety and a pat on the back and a congratulations and so on and so forth. There's a blessing in doing for other people that can't do for themselves. Did you know that today? There's a blessing today in, my friend, knowing that you made somebody else's life just a little bit better. That you lifted their load. That somehow that you kind of pointed them towards the cross of Calvary, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us these abilities. He's given us these gifts. And someone will say today, well, how do I know? How do I know what God has given me that I can serve other people? I know this sounds like a social gospel, doesn't it? But I want to tell you something about, I ran across some scripture over in Acts, Peter's sermon. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. Boy, that stuck with me. But how do you know what you have that you can serve? First of all, have that desire to serve him. Because, my friend, whatsoever that we've done unto the least of Christ, what he said, whatsoever that you have done unto the least of these my brethren, you've done unto me. There's a friend of mine, he's filled this pulpit before, told about a story one time when he was living in Springfield, and how that, as you oftentimes see, people will hold up signs and says, need food, need this, need that. And he said he was driving along, and he said, all of a sudden, he said, I had this impression. He said, I knew it was from God. He said, I had this impression to go to McDonald's. Now, I don't know if he bought him a Big Mac or what, but to go and buy some food from McDonald's for this fellow that was standing over here And he said it was very obvious that he was in need. And I know that some of them take advantage. Yeah. But you know, whenever you do it in God's name, God leading you, the burden is upon them as to what they do with it. Amen. Just like the burden is upon us what we do with the gospel. God's done everything. Christ has paid the price. Christ has sacrificed himself. He shed his blood. He is resurrected the third day. My friend, he's done everything possible in order to redeem an individual from sin. Now, what they do with the gospel after that is up to them. They can reject it, but there's consequences to rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They can seek after him and believe and be saved, and my friend, they'll be in heaven. But anyway, Terry said, I went around, and he said, I went through the drive-thru. He said, I bought this and that and the other. And he said, the fellow was still standing out there. He said, I walked up, and he said, I gave it to him. And he said, God bless you. I hope this helps you. Terry said he started to drive off. And he said, I looked in the rearview mirror. No one was there. Someone, maybe a skeptical of me, would say, oh yeah, he probably just ran off and he probably sold it to somebody to get him a, you know what. No. He said the guy couldn't have, because he said he was practically in a parking lot. You know, the Bible says what it says about doing such things. Sometimes we have entertained angels unaware. That's why Jesus says, whatsoever that you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. And so we pray to find out what God wants us to do. And my friend, God will answer your prayer if you really want to know. And my friend, He'll show you individuals that have need. He'll show you those that that we're to use our gifts for. We use our gifts and we use what God is talented with to serve one another. The Bible says over in one place, we're to serve one another in love without any sort of thought of what are we going to get out of it. You know, that's what the world tells us today. What is in it for me? I used to have a good friend in pharmacy school that would say such the same thing. He said, yeah, I'll do good. What's in it for me? I'll tell you another one. He used to say, and I used to worry about PJ. He said, well, Paul, you do unto others before they do to you. Now, PJ really believed that. Bless his heart. I hope God blesses him wherever he's at. But we're to serve one another in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Did you know that today? And whenever that we do it with love towards Christ, because this is what Christ went about doing. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. No, I don't have the ability to raise the dead. And I'm not one of the so-called evangelists that go around doing that to people. But my friend, I want to tell you something. You can raise the dead in a different way. You can lift up a dead spirit. I'm talking about an individual that is so despondent and so in despair and so discouraged that they're just dead unto anything and they can't even feel love or feel affection. My friend, by doing good unto them, by doing it in the name of the Lord, you can lift them up. And you might even save a soul from doing themselves in. And there's a lot of people that are doing themselves in today. But we're to serve one another. If the basement is full of water, go help them bail out. If today, my friend, the roof falls in, go and help them. And I want to commend you. I know I'm preaching to the choir whenever that I say this today. This is the most works-centered as far as like doing works for the Lord and doing things for one another and loving one another. The most that I've ever seen in a church. I want to commend you. I want to applaud you today. But mostly I want to tell you that with such work, God is pleased. Don't stop. Don't stop. I don't care what's going out in the world. I don't care who gets elected in November. That doesn't matter. It does matter, I guess, in some ways. But my friend, I want to tell you what matters is that we keep on working for Him. That we keep on keeping on. That, my friend, if one is discouraged and says, oh gosh, they're going to make us drive electric cars, just lift them up and say, you know what, maybe we'll just resort to bicycles. You know, just lift one another up. We're to serve one another in love. My friend, I want to tell you something. We're to serve the world, not the way that the world is being served today, but serve them in showing kindness. You know what? Just opening a door can do so much for an individual. You know, I'll tell you another thing. God will keep you on the straight and narrow of doing all of this. You can ask my wife. She used to be so OC about the lawn. My lands, I would just pound every little dandelion that came up. And every buckhorn. You know what a buckhorn plant is? I do. I'm not that city boy. But, oh, man, get out there, you know, just, you know, how dare you do this? You know, I'd see some bug go across the driveway, and, oh, I'm going to. And, you know, God would send a messenger and say, Paul, you've got a wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. I don't know if you all know Mashburn's facility. It's no longer in existence, but they have little children there that are mentally incapacitated and physically incapacitated, and they don't even know what day it is. But the workers would sometimes take them out on a sunny day and walk them around the subdivision where that we live. Well, there would be old narcissistic Paul out there just practically losing his religion over a dandelion. But here would come an angel with a message. One of those little children being pushed. And you know what? I had to ask forgiveness for the dandelion and ask God to forgive me for such horrible attitude. We're to pray for one another. We are to support one another. We're to support the world, my friend, and show them there's a reality to knowing Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Now, it's hard to do. Because we still have this flesh that we deal with. And Paul talks about that in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, the good that I would do, I do not. And that I would not do, that I do. I find, he said, a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Satan will try to resist you from doing good. But you can resist him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's what the Bible says one place. Then we are to live before others, showing a difference that down in our heart and in our soul, God has made a difference. There's an individual. He wasn't a deacon. He wasn't a preacher. But he lived his faith. And he touched more people than you can imagine. That individual, whenever that the boys that he worked with, when they'd graduate, he'd give them a Bible. He'd give them a Bible and inscribe something in it for them. And he would help them with their problems. And sometimes he would do their jobs for them where that they worked at. And he would try to support them and try to encourage them. Ran across one of those fellas years ago. And he said, you know, I still have that Bible that he gave me. And every time I look at it, I think about it. I think about how that he lived his life out for the Lord. This wasn't exactly what I was intending to preach. But I want to tell you something today. I love my Lord. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart because He died for every man. He died for the drug addict. He died for the patient that is afflicted with AIDS. He died for the thief. He died for every one of them that are sitting in death's row. He died for all men. My friend, His love is not limited unto just a few. His love is towards all today. I would today that every one of them would get saved by the grace of God, and that they would know the joy of what it is to know Jesus, and not only in the free pardon of sin, but to live their life and use their talents for God. I would that every one of them would. But that's between them and God, because the Bible tells us in one place the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. And it comes down to an individual choice as to what they want to do with that gospel and do with that Savior. They've got to come to the foot of the cross. And you know, I'll close. But you know, at the foot of the cross, just like, you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress. Abraham Lincoln said that in his home were two books. One was the Bible. The other was John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I would that every home had a Bible and Pilgrim's Progress. But in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, the journeyer was named Pilgrim. And he was going to the celestial city. And he met different characters along the way. The giant of discouragement. You know, all different things were named. It was a big allegory. A pilgrim could not get to the celestial city until he did one thing. Till he came by the way of the cross. Every individual is going to have to come by the way of the cross if they go to heaven today. That's the long and the short of it. There's no roundabout. I don't like roundabouts. But anyway, there's no roundabout to get around the cross. There's no bypass. There's no tunnel under it. You know, there's a black spiritual that says, so deep you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. It's so high today you can't get over it. You must come by the way of Christ. And that's still the same. I'm hushing. But I love y'all. I pray God blesses you. I pray that God watches over each and every one of you. I pray today that God will help you to use the gifts that you've been given. And if you don't know what they are, ask God to show you. And He'll show you. He will. And then you take those gifts. You give them to God. And you ask God to use you to bless others today.